God, when we come to you tomorrow, may this song ring true in our own hearts and our lives on how much you do love us. Over and over and over, this song claims that promise that no matter what we have ever done, the regrets and the things that we may feel, times of shame or guilt, or times of things that we can look back and we say, I wish I could do that all over again. I pray that today that, Lord, we just cast that aside, that we take your grace, that we take the death that you gave us on the cross and paid the price and paid the penalty. And we accept that free gift and we accept that grace each day. And it's an ocean to us. It's abundant, it's overflowing, and I pray that each one of us will live that way until the day we meet you. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Sal, and thank you so much, our praise team, for just always setting the mood and the worship experience for each one of us. I just want to thank you for that. Over the past several months, I have been sharing truths from the book of Acts, and we did about 17 weeks of the book of Acts, and then I kind of jumped into a little mini-series on how to deepen our faith. And we go through so many different areas in real life, stories and experiences that it challenges us and also encourages us to try to deepen our faith in things that maybe for some people, maybe we see them say, man, they're really strong in that area. And then for others, they're maybe strong in those areas. And we say, how does people work through that? And how do we get through those situations? And so we've been talking about and sharing some of God's promises and some of God's benefits and how he can help us deepen our faith each and every single day with him. This morning, message is one that I have never done anything close to this before. And I'm very, very grateful that you are here. The reason why I shared with you before about talking about Acts and about the deepening of our faith is because I was challenged to look at my own life last week on Monday. When I had someone come to my door and want to share their truth with me and invite me to an Easter service. And so you're going to see in a few minutes a pretty raw video of just your pastor, of just a Christian, of just a man that is doing the best he can to not only preach, but hopefully live out what I'm preaching. And the reason why I've never done this before is because I've never had the opportunity either, or didn't make the opportunity because I didn't have a phone or a way to videotape my experiences with people in the past that I've gotten a chance to share the great news of Christ to. This morning, though, I want to do this in a very sensitive, in a very loving, and a very compassionate way, though, because I believe that every single person is lost until they're found, including me. Every single person in this world is lost until they're found, and it reminds me of the great song that and the great hymn that we all probably know of, "Amazing Grace." How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. 'Twas blind, but now I see. I love the first part of that because it just shows us in our world that there are everybody. Everybody's inclusive in this is going to be lost at one time or stay lost for a long time until they're found. until Jesus Christ makes their way into their hearts, until they're found. It's an important that I shared this because I want to be able to share with you a biblical truth that is this. Satan, from the beginning of time, since the day in the garden, he has literally been distorting God's word. He's been, did God really say that? Did God really say you couldn't do this, Adam and Eve? He's been distorting God's word. He's been lying to his children. He's been deceiving the world and sharing with people in all different facets that there's other ways to eternal life. There's other ways to the Father except through Jesus Christ. And most people, many people believe, because there's billions out there that believe that there are many ways to receive eternal life. And Satan has been using false doctrine. He's been creating these new teachings. He's been using false prophets from the very beginning of time, since Satan has been distorting and lying to his people, allowing people to create their own religions, man-made rules, becoming either legalistic or becoming in a way that is so deceitful that for the normal people that may not, on the average people that may not know completely God's truth, we become naive and we just give in. And here's what I mean. The fact of the matter is this. Muhammad, the leader of the Islam faith, they're around 1 billion strong today. Muhammad is dead, though. Siddhartha of the Buddhist faith, millions of followers, worshiping all these different types of gods, polytheism of gods. Buddhist is dead. Confucius is dead. Joseph Smith, who started the Mormon religion, is dead. Ron Hubbard of Scientology is dead, as well as countless thousands of others that have come over the past 2,000 years claiming to be a god or a false prophet or leading people to a particular religion that is contrary to what the Word of God says. Now, many of these people will use the Bible or partials of the Bible or misinterpret part of the Bible to fit their religion or fit their lifestyle that's good for them. But there's only been one person in all creation that is ever resurrected from the dead, that is still alive today, and that's Jesus Christ. Revelation 1:18 says, I am the living one. I was dead, and now, look, I'm alive forever and ever. It was on March 10th last week, on a Monday, I believe. It started my spring break. My wife and my two kids headed to Kansas. I'm out in my front watering my pecan tree that's that big, which, by the way, is no longer a stick. It has a bloom on it now, which gives me promise. Eric told me it would happen, and it did. And a man comes to my door to share with me his truth. I truly believe that it was that, since I've never done this before, that it was something of the leading of the Holy Spirit to have me share this video with you. But I want you to know my heart. My heart is, and my intent is not to humiliate or to embarrass this man who I'm going to talk to. That's not my heart. But both of us are going to share our truth. And both of us have to confront what is truth. And so will you throughout your lifetime. So will you throughout your lifetime. What you're going to see is just me sharing and defending God's word. It's called apologetics. It's a fancy word of defending and using God's word. It's what Jesus had to do in the desert when Satan was going after Jesus, the Son of God himself, while he's in the desert for 40 days. He's at his lowest point. And all of a sudden, Satan's going to come to, literally, God in the flesh, and promise him things and say things, and the only thing that Jesus could go back with is using the inspired word, his truth, the word of God, to combat the false teaching. This is me and a Jehovah's Witness. It could have been me and a Mormon. It could have been me and a Muslim. It could have been me and an atheist. It could have been me, someone that just goes to church, sits in a pew, but is on the fence, not sure which way they want to go. It could have been anybody. It could be a person that's been claiming and saying that I've been going to church all my life, and I want to invite you to an Easter service, but at the same time, maybe they're not even sure why they would even attend. But this person was inviting as many people as he could with three other women on my street and all around the neighborhood, inviting them to an Easter service. I want you to think about something. How many of you guys have been inviting people to our Easter service? The reality is that four of them were going out inviting as many people could to their Easter service. Next door to us. Literally next door to us. Because he told me that's where his church is. The reality is that four of them were going out inviting people to their service. As I said, it's pretty commendable. Working for hours. But here's the reality also. The Jehovah's Witness do not believe that Jesus rose from the grave physically. They believe that he rose from the grave only spiritually, not physically. And why would this be important? Why is this a big deal? Because this is everything to the Christian faith. If we do not hold down this one foundation that Jesus Christ rose from the grave, we might as well go ahead and close the doors to this church. This is the essence of everything that we believe. This is the essence of the foundation of the Christian faith, that he's the only one. He is the Son of God that actually rose from the grave. He's the only one that paid a debt that we could not pay on a cross. Siddhartha didn't do it. Joseph Smith couldn't do it. Confucius wouldn't do it. Muhammad couldn't do it. None of these other people were ever willing to die for someone else and to give their life as a ransom. So 2 weeks before Easter, 1 Corinthians 15:4, before I show the video, is this. If Christ had not been raised, then our preaching is vain. Your faith is also vain. This is why I shared what we might as well close the door. If Christ has not been raised and our preaching is vain, your faith is also vain. It's worthless. John 2:19-21 says, Jesus answered and said to them, destroy the temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. And the Jews therefore said, it took 46 years to build this temple. And you will raise it up in 3 days? But he was speaking of the temple of his what? His body. And Luke 24:39 says, touch me and see me, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I what? Have. I hope that you will use these verses. I hope that you will use this video as an encouragement for each of us here at Living Hope to go out and share the good news. Let's play.
In 1870, at the age of 18 years old, a man named Charles Russell started a Bible class in Pittsburgh. In 1876, he was elected the leader. He founded what was known as the Herald of the Morning in 1879, which eventually developed into what is known today as the Watchtower Announcing Jehovah's Kingdom. Today, this doctrine has been producing 17 million copies per month in 100 different languages. It was in 1916 that Charles Russell died, and the mission of the church was ruled by many presidents. Then in 1961, five men helped write their own translation of the Bible called the New World Translation. and literally rewrote the ancient manuscripts to fit their belief system. The translators were known as Nathan Knorr, Albert Schroeder, George Genghis, Fred Franz, and Milton Hitchell. Fred Franz was the only one that supposedly had knowledge of the Bible language. He studied Greek for 2 years at a University of Cincinnati and was self-taught in Hebrew. But when theologians and Bible scholars challenged him to translate the Bible into one of the two languages, starting off with Genesis 2:4 as their beginning, he could not do it. The other four had no training whatsoever except for a high school education. At this time, not one Christian denomination uses their translation and discredits its teachings completely. Today, a governing body oversees the Jehovah's Witness. The man that you will see in this video met 5 times a week for 6 months for his training before going out and sharing his belief.
School, when you're in a kingdom hall. But it's also pleasant because the people have to imitate Jesus Christ if we're claimed to be true Christians.
Right.
And that would be one of the number one things, is showing love to everyone as much as we can. We're still imperfect.
Right. I know I am.
Yeah.
I know.
And we make mistakes all the time, and we have to keep that in mind. But how hard are we really trying to be have these wonderful qualities that Jesus had? And how do we do that? We encourage one another.
What do you got to do to get to heaven?
To inherit God's kingdom, you mean?
Dude. Well, what did you do to get into heaven? Did you have to do anything?
Well, for one thing, I got to tell you straight out, my hope to go to heaven, that's not me at all. I have the hope. See, there's two classes the Bible speaks of. Ones that go to heaven and ones who are other sheep that the Bible speaks of, which include living on the earth, which the billions and billions of people are going to do, because in heaven...
Well, don't y'all believe in heaven and hell?
We believe in... The Bible. I mean,
the Bible speaks about hell. Have you read the New Testament?
Yeah, we read the whole Bible.
Well, have you read the whole Bible talks about hell and heaven, doesn't it?
And that's another big thing.
Okay.
Okay. The teachings of the Bible are actually like 180 degrees different, because the ones who go to heaven, the Bible speaks literal amount. But it also talks about fish in the sea, that they have souls. The souls in Genesis, I believe, when he made the fish, there were souls in the ocean.
You believe fish have souls?
Well, according to the Bible, we thought, well, how could fish have souls and go to heaven? They'd have to be able to go to heaven, is what we found out by diligent studying. The soul is, and when God made Adam,
right,
he made him as a soul. He'd never said that I put a soul into him. We are the soul. We are our bodies are a soul.
Yeah, we have a soul.
Yeah.
But don't we have a decision too to make? Either we receive Christ or we don't receive Christ.
Well, of course, of course.
And
everybody.
Then isn't that how you get to heaven though? Isn't it a free gift?
Well, it's like, Jesus died as a ransom.
Right.
Okay. Something has to be paid.
Right. He paid for our sins on a cross. Ain't that what you're about to talk to me about?
We have to pay for it also.
Why do we got to pay for it? I thought it was a free gift.
Because he offers it if.
If we believe.
If we exercise his faith in
right.
him.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
So we got to believe in him and then take the debt that he paid on the cross for our sins, right?
Yeah, he promises then.
You have eternal life.
Yeah, so we have to study the Bible diligently.
Right. Obviously, we're in two different beliefs.
Yeah, yeah.
But here's what I admire. I admire your integrity. I admire the fact that you're out here trying to plant seeds.
And that's what it takes.
It takes a lot of diligence to do that. I wish a lot of Christians would go out and plant seeds more often and be able to do that. And I would like for you to go back, and I want you to understand on Sunday, I mean, the debt that he pays, you know, on the cross is more than I will be able to do because, see, he says that our works are like filthy rags. And there's not a single thing I can do to earn salvation at all.
No.
There's nothing I can do to earn salvation. And you know what?
That's a gift, yeah.
It is a true gift, exactly right. And so because of that, I want you to know that even as diligently as you and all the women that are walking down here doing all these great things and trying to share the seeds, the problem is that the seed that y'all are sharing is not complete truth. It's not. Because you're missing a very important part of who Jesus Christ is, because he only offers two things. Either you can receive Jesus Christ or you can reject Jesus Christ.
Yeah, but you have to know, you have to get to know him very much.
You have to get to know him, but there's not anything I can do to earn salvation except to believe and to receive him.
Right?
So he's knocking on the doors, just like you guys are knocking on the doors. But the problem is, people need to understand they have to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior?
Let me ask you a question. Something just really hit me hard here.
All right. Probably the fact that I'm a pastor that you're talking about.
Oh, no.
Okay.
It involves the unity. See, unity would have a solid, at John 17:3, you're probably familiar with that. That's pretty well known.
Share it with me.
This means everlasting life. They're taking in knowledge of you, the only true God, and of the one whom you sent forth, Jesus Christ. The unity also would be one identifying mark around the complete world.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, well, in Jesus' time, they were to go to all the nations, and they had the solid truth. Each one was in the same frame, mind, and thought, and they went from house to house around the world to all people of all nations.
Right.
Declaring the good news
of Jesus Christ.
And that had to be...
So what is the good news? What is the greatest news that we could hear? What is it that you really want to get across to every single person? I mean, you're a Jehovah's Witness. You're trying to do your work. You're here on a 9:30, 10 o'clock in the morning. What is it that you want every single one of these houses to know? What is the good news? What is it? If you could leave me off with anything, what is your greatest good news that you could share?
It's the same as Solomon said, because he, as you have probably observed him and read about him, he tried everything to do physical things to beautify the earth, so to speak, and things like that.
Right.
But in the end, it said that fear God and give him glory.
That's the good news?
That's the best news. Because God deserves it all.
He does.
He gave us so much.
He gave us his son, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's
Do you believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ?
Well, that's good.
See, to me, I think that's the greatest news in the world, is that if I was to leave off with anybody, if I was to go walking with you,
okay,
and we knock on the same door, and you share your spiel with them, and I share my spiel with them, and talking about, look, I know that you and I both are sinners. I know that you and I both are trying to do the best we can, but here's the greatest news I want to share with you. The greatest news that I could share with you is that Jesus died for your sins, There's not a single thing you could do to earn that salvation. And I want you to know, if you put your love, if you put your trust in Jesus Christ alone,
all he talks about all your vital forces. Yeah.
No, I don't know what vital force. That sounds like Star Wars. But if you love God with all your heart, with all your what?
Mind,
soul, and strength. Let's encompass all of that. And you give your life to Jesus Christ and you say, I want you to become Lord and Savior of my life. At that point, I truly believe with all my heart, that those people will receive Jesus Christ and will see Jesus Christ someday in their life
so
when they die.
You having great faith in that. You would want the whole world to know it, so
right.
You would get everyone in your congregation to teach them the way, and,
right.
And they would go from house to house,
mm-hmm.
And they would do their very best to.
Or they would go and do it in their workplaces. They would do it in their schools. They would
course.
Do it in their neighborhoods when they're meeting people.
Sure.
All over the place. I'm hoping that my church will always be a church that is the church. See, that, I truly believe that we're supposed to be. I don't care about a building. I care about, even if that tornado hit both of our churches at the same time.
Well, building is
building
just
is
a
nothing.
Building.
Exactly right. Because we are the church.
Unless it was Solomon's building he built for, you know.
Solomon's building ain't going to last either.
No, for his God he built. You
exactly.
Know, he built that one
well,
for God.
My church could have been destroyed or could be in
yeah.
a fire tomorrow.
Of course.
And what I hope is that each person comes out of their pews and each day we all share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And here's the good news, that Jesus Christ died for all of our sins once and for all and paid that ransom you were talking about. So that we never,
if,
never.
It says if.
What's that?
We have faith in him.
Well, yeah, you got to have faith to believe in
him. And we have to be in unity with him, and we have to be worldwide.
Well, Christianity is a lot bigger than Jehovah's Witness. It's 2 billion
faith. Yeah, but it's no unity, though.
There's no unity in
I
the
Christian... I don't see any unity. the teachings, you go to one, even the saints...
Does Jehovah's Witness believe that they're Christians?
Of course.
Well, there's no unity. Definitely. Are you saying that there's unity between Baptists, Methodists? I mean, in a way, I'll be honest with you.
I don't see any unity because it's
that's because we don't believe in the same thing.
That's right.
Because we believe that y'all stuff is false doctrine.
We've all
and so
believe.
Does most of the other denominations.
That's them. That's them.
Well, that's actually me.
And we
because I believe that you guys are adding on to. Like it talks about in Revelations, I believe that y'all are adding more or adding less than what it needs to be.
No, we only do exactly what the Bible says. A true Christian should your whole congregation and all that meet there should be in the same frame, mind, and thought about every teaching in the Bible.
I think our churches, my churches, Living Hope Baptist Church, and you know what? I also got some church members that are trying to learn all this.
You know, you said
they're learning. They're trying to learn because everybody that goes to church is not Christians, and that's why you have the church, is to be able to share God's truth, right?
But you have to also keep it clean. But
what do you mean, keep it clean?
Oh, in the first century Christians, if they were doing something immoral
right.
or something, that one would have to, you know, the elders would talk to them.
Right.
And then if they kept on doing it.
Right. I'm not saying that they're members of our church. I'm saying that these are lost people. Like you said, the lost sheep who you're going out to, these are lost people, aren't they? A lot of these people could be lost.
Like sheep without a shepherd.
Yeah, without a shepherd. They've gone astray.
Yeah.
And so because of that, we welcome them in our church because we want them to be able to hear
the
gospel.
Well, they're welcome to come to the Kingdom Hall. Yeah, they're welcome. But if they're doing something that can infect the congregation.
Like
by
a sin.
We
like
have
a sin.
To,
well, don't you? You're going to sin today.
Well, I'm talking about gross sin.
Well,
like
so you think gross sin is above any other sin? There's actually sins that are worse than others?
Well, like if I sin and I accidentally said something, that I said I was going to do, and then I didn't do it, I forgot. Oh, man.
Right.
You know, that's not a gross sin. That's just one
well,
of those.
Well, that's sin right
natural,
there.
Natural
well,
sin.
Well, that's sin.
I'd say.
That's sin.
But someone
No, listen. That sin
yeah.
is what put every single person in hell. One sin. Because any of us that have just one sin, any of us that has just one sin, has put us all in hell.
So you don't believe in a gross sin or
no,
just
I believe that every single sin is the same. Every single sin. Don't you have you read the Old Testament with David? What was that?
That's
what was David's sin? He committed what?
Yeah, immorality and
murder and adultery.
Yeah.
So do you think he's in heaven or hell?
Well, he definitely repented.
Well, exactly.
So he would have to be, he was very acceptable to God.
Exactly right, and so am I. I'm very acceptable to God, because if I shared you with my life before I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, you would probably be really embarrassed to talk to me right now. If I went into detail, how you wouldn't like it. But the fact that God changed my heart in 1989 when I was in 11th grade, when he changed my heart.
I'm sorry, I'm going to have to get back because I'm ahead of the...
Yeah, you don't like where this is going, do you?
Well, I feel like I'm just beating myself up because we don't have the Bible, I guess.
Well,
we're not really looking in the Bible.
Well, I can quote you scripture back and forth. I know my Bible pretty well, and I can tell you, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned, and that means every single sin, and the sin that you're going to commit today... But I want you to know when you walk away from here, and I want you to think about when you go to your house and you commit a sin or a gross sin or any other kind of sin, I want you to know when you put your trust in Jesus Christ, that's why he died on the cross. That's what you're inviting me to. You invited me to a service all about the cross, that he paid for the sin, and he rose again.
So that means God's going to let the fornicators and adulterers into the, he doesn't care if they sin?
Oh, he cares. That's why he died on the cross.
So
to pay
you, so,
for that sin.
So you're going to allow So if the people in your congregation associate with a person who's a fornicator, then you're going to let them.
Jesus Christ hung out with prostitutes. He hung out with...
Yeah. But he knew their heart condition. And
why do you think he went to them?
They changed.
Exactly. That's why he went to them. But who's going to go to them? Who's going to reach out to them?
But in the meantime...
Why are you reaching out to all these people?
But in the meantime, your congregation is seeing that you're welcoming them, and they're still committing a sin.
They're going to always sin. I'm going to always sin.
One of the number one things is showing love to every, you know, everyone as much as we can. We're still imperfect.
Right. I know I am.
Yeah.
I know I am.
And we make mistakes all the time, and we have to keep that in mind. But how hard are we really trying to be have these wonderful qualities that Jesus had? And how do we do that? We encourage one another.
I want to close with this. Two important truths, really quick. In Romans 16, 17 through 18, it says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teachings that you have learned. For such people are not serving our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of naive people. And what I want us to end with is this, that there are literally hundreds of religions out there. We call them religious cults that are working hard, that are working diligently, as he keeps mentioning, to plant spiritual seeds in the minds of people. And what's sad is that there are millions of people that are accepting this truth. Jan experienced a lot of this when she was living in a place of Utah with Mormonism and learned how to confront and be able to deal with that. Many of you have worked with or have had experiences, as well as Greg and different other people that have shared and had to go head-to-head with different people. There are going to be lots of people that are going to deal with people that are Muslims or Mormon or Scientology or Oprah's New Age movement or Jehovah's Witness or atheists that my wife deals with at her school every single day. The fact of the matter is there's no hope. The fact of the matter is that there's no personal relationship. It's all about works. If you don't go and do what this person does, you get kicked out because you're not diligently working. And that's what it will get to. You have to. You're commanded by the people, by the elders to go out instead of commanded by God. And there's a big difference between man and God. There's no grace. It's man-made rules. It's false doctrine. It's false prophets. It's false teachings. And the guy that is inviting all these hundreds of people that day, knocking on the doors to invite them to go to an Easter service where they don't even believe in a physical resurrection from the dead, is crazy. There's no hope in that. And that's what we're up against each and every day as a Christian living out our true faith. We were created in God's image. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit has been active and alive from the very beginning. Is the Alpha and the Omega. The beginning and will be the end. All these others are dead. But people are falling into temptation, or people are falling into these religions because they don't know the truth. I believe with all my heart that this man and many, many millions of others are doing the very best they know how to do, living life, going to work, having children, taking care of people, trying to survive. But the problem is that the reality is that there is a spiritual warfare that's taken place. And there has been from the very beginning of time, since the garden, that Satan has been working away to do whatever he can, but we don't use it. We don't want to look at it, that that's a spiritual warfare, that that's the devil, that that's Satan, that must be some type of fairy tale. Well, the fact of the matter is, it's not a fairy tale. It's reality. Each of us have sinned, and each of us has fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. Romans 6:23. There's a wage, there's this price and this death because of one sin. We missed the part that you would see in there that talks about that he thinks that there's a weight of different sins. It's just one sin. He believes that though you have different levels of sin, gross sin and just natural sin. And I was explaining to him, oh no, it's all of it. It's just one sin and you fall short of all of it. Because that's what the Bible teaches. But the Bible teaches us, and what I want to leave us here today with this, is that he came to die for all of our sins, once and for all, and paid a debt that we could not pay back. That cross is sufficient, and it's been sufficient for 2,000 years. And it's going to be sufficient next week when we have Good Friday. It's sufficient for all of our sins. And that's what I would want to share with all the people. That's what I want us to go out and share with the world, is that Christ died for all of our sins. And there's nothing we could do about it. For our works are of filthy rags. So the only thing that we could do is come as we are, like we sang about. Come as we are and accept the free gift or not. Troy, that sounds too easy. That sounds like that's just, if God knows my situation, he knows my past, there's no way he can forgive that. There's no way it can be that easy where he's just going to give me eternal life. There's no other way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. There is no other way. If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the what? You will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. And it is with your mouth that you profess to your faith that you are saved. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and it's not of your works, so that anyone can boast. It's a gift from God. It's not by works. I know in that video, it wasn't a perfect video, was it? By no stretch of the imagination. I mean, the guy saw me, they got my phone, and I'm going like this. It's raw. It's a raw video. And I also want you to know that I didn't do a perfect job of sharing with him. I know that as your pastor. Why? Because it's reality. I didn't have time to think. All I had was a hose in my hand, a phone, and a guy coming to my door sharing his truth. Sometimes we're not going to have time. Sometimes we may not be prepared. Sometimes we're just going to be flat out just real and raw and sometimes ugly, and sometimes just not right, and sometimes not in a good mood, and sometimes just not healthy, and sometimes whatever, 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 fill in the blank. So I don't show you this video because I think I did a great job. Matter of fact, if you were with me and Justin, I told him, yeah, go ahead and edit that part too. And that one. And that one and that one. That would be good. For the sake of time, of course, only. The reality is I didn't do a perfect job. And maybe the reality is maybe you won't always be perfect either. I show you the video because I want the world to know this, the last part of my favorite hymn. To his grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved, how precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Let's pray. The good news to me, Father, is that your grace abounds more than my sin will ever. The good news to me, Father, is that you gave your one and only Son that paid a debt that I cannot pay back, that offers me an abundant life, that offers me eternal life, and offers me the opportunity to have a relationship with you. None of those men, none of those religions offer a relationship. You're the only one that offers a true relationship. You're the only one that offers true hope. You're the only one that offers promises that you cannot break. You're the only one that can erase my guilt and my shame and to allow me to live in freedom each and every day. See, that's what Christianity is. That's what being like little Christ, little Christian. We are the church. And I pray that maybe this video and maybe this message today, I hope that they saw more scriptures than they saw of Troy. That they'll use these words, like you use these words, to combat things that are going on in their own lives. And whether they're being challenged or whether they're being challenged just through health or just need encouragement, need some hope, that they'll find it and rest in you. I thank you, Father, for allowing each one of us to be here to hear your words. And may you bring peace and joy and comfort and abundant life to each person. as they walk out this door today and live the life as being the church. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You'll stand for a time of invitation, please.